Thank you for being here. And take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James, the first chapter. The book of James, the first chapter. This first chapter of James is filled with good stuff. Good stuff. It all is. But it seems to me that where we're at in our world, in our society, that the book of James has been laid to the side, and real Christianity, where the rubber meets the road, the real stuff has been set to the side, and some kind of artificial play acting has substituted that. The Lord only knows, but I think that we're going to look deep into this passage today. And we're kind of finishing up from last Sunday. If you were here last Sunday, we were in the book of James. But we got down to that third part where it talks about true religion. And so we're going to look at those three points of the real thing. The three tests. And when I use religion, it's not like I would normally talk about religion. I don't really like religion, do you? Christianity. And so for you to understand it better and me to understand it better, I'm going to talk about the true test of Christianity today. Even though the King James uses the word religion here, but it uses it in the right sense. It's talking about the real thing also. So James, the first chapter, and verse 26 and verse 27, not many verses, but we're going to do some Bible drilling. So let's stand together and give honor to the reading of God's precious and holy word, and what a privilege it is for you to be able to hold your Bible in your hand. Man, all over the world, people who do not have a Bible and wish they did, and you and I have several of them. Most of us have several. And we're able to carry it with us all the time. If any man among you seem to be religious, now he's talking about a man who claims to be a Christian, a man who claims to have a relationship with God. If any man among you seem to be religious, now look at it, and bridleth not his tongue. He doesn't control his tongue. Do you have any trouble with your tongue? That seems to get me in more trouble. And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Now, I don't know how your Bible interprets vain, but my Bible interprets that useless. It's useless. It destroys your testimony. It hurts people around you. It tears people down. Pure religion and undefiled before God. Now this word undefiled here talks about something that is not mixed with anything else. It doesn't have any mixture in it. It's the pure stuff. There's not anything added. We're living in a society that we've got to bring this to the forefront. We've got to bring it to the forefront in our own lives. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this. Now he uses this term, but you know this is not new to the Scripture. It is all through the scripture that this is what we are to be involved in. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy with a desperate need in our own lives. Lord, we pray that your hand would be on us today. God, I pray for an anointing that the words that I say would not be of me, but would be of you. And I pray for the hearer today that we might open our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first thing that James talks about when he talks about the real thing is control of the tongue. So what is it that makes a man acceptable before God? In the book of Micah, the 6th chapter and verse 8, the Bible says, "What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" Look with me at Luke's gospel. Now, I said we was going to drill some, so Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke's gospel, the 18th chapter, look down at verse 9. Luke 18 and verse 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." So he gives a contrast here of what the world thought. They thought the tax collectors, and they were cheats and robbers and of the worst sort. And they hated tax collectors. And so he gives this a religious leader, a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus. And I like the way the Bible puts this here. He prayed with himself. Have you heard people pray with themselves? I've heard a few folks that prayed to me. Now, I'm not talking like they prayed to me as they would pray to God, but they were praying for me to hear. In other words, they was preaching to me. They wanted it to have an effect on me. They wasted it. All it did was make me mad. So he prayed with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." You see, when we compare ourselves to others, we're using a strange scale when we do that. I fast twice in the week, and I've said this before. I think that when you tell folks that you're fasting, you lost it. I don't know any other way to say it. I've had people to tell me, "Well, I'm fasting," and I'm thinking, "Well, you just blew it." You know that the scriptures tell us that the things that we do for the Lord, we're to do in secret. And the God who sees in secret will reward us openly. But we're not to do it for that. We're to do it secretly. And so he began to brag on himself. He said, "I'm a tither. I tithe of all that I possess. I give a tenth of all that I possess." He wasted it. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, because he saw himself as he was." Folks, we need to come to a place to see ourselves. We're sinners. And we are in desperate need of grace in our lives. "And he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And this is what he says. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that, here it is, exalts himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God spoke through Amos, and I want us to turn to that over in the Old Testament. Somebody give me the book before and the book after. I've lost it. Amos? Joel Amos? I can't find it. Give me some more hints. I should have had that found. Say it again. Daniel. Amos. I thought they had taken that thing out. Amos 4. I was quarreling at someone about using their phone for a Bible. And then we got in a meeting and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the book I was looking for. Amos 4. And look down at, I began to think I wasn't going to find it. 4:4. So Amos 4, look at verse 4. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. What did that say? This is what it said. Do these religious acts. You like doing that. You like doing those religious acts. Now, is he speaking to us? Is he speaking to us that there is something about... Now, don't get me wrong today. I want you to come to church. But if you are getting your strokes just by being here, there is something wrong. Do you hear me today? If it's just being here, if it's not in the relationship, you know, if it's not the Spirit of God that is moving you to be here and to do what you do, and for me to do what I do, if it's not the Spirit of God that is moving me to do that, it's just like what Amos says about the religious people of his day. He said, you like being religious. You like going through the motions. You like doing those religious things. But go on down to chapter 5 and look at verse 21. And man, does he get rough. I hate, I despise your feast days. Well, I thought God was the one that gave it to him. Did he not? He did. He did. But here he says, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. I'm not going to pay any attention, God said. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. But let judgment run down as water and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But you have borne the tabernacle of your Molech and Chilim, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Wow. I'm not going to hear, the Lord said. I'm not going to hear. If it's not the real thing, we don't have God's attention. You know, I've noticed that when folks really have trauma in their life, they really can reach out to the Lord. But when things begin to go smooth, they begin to be like these people in Amos. They just go through the motions. And God said it's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. And then he moves down to the place of charity, love. And he says that this is what the symbol of that is. It is what shows what's in our heart. It's whether or not God is moving us. And this is what he says for us to do. To visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction. Isaiah. I think I can do that. Isaiah, Jeremiah. What does the Lord, why does he take such interest in the fatherless and the widow? Do you know what the Word of God says? I will become a father to the fatherless, and I will become a husband to the widow. And so what is on God's heart should be on our heart if we're doing the real thing. If we're going through the motions, it is not doing any good. Isaiah 58, look at verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have you fasted, say they? Have we fasted, say they? And thou sayest not, wherefore have we afflicted our souls and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labor. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. It is such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I've chosen? And here it is. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. Is not this to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Over in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Now you know the story. The priest comes and he sees this man that's been robbed and beat up, and he goes to the other side of the road. And here comes a religious leader, and he sees the man and he goes to the other side of the road. Now, Jesus chose a particular race and a particular people when he gave this illustration. Because those two people that went to the other side of the road thought that they had God in their box, on their side, in their corner. And yet Jesus gives an illustration of someone. Do you remember what the Samaritan woman in the fourth chapter of John said to Jesus? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They would walk around the city. They would not speak to the Samaritan. They would not have anything to do with the Samaritan. But then he gives this marvelous illustration of what really helping people is. Now you go back and read. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I've got another passage that I want to read a couple more. But he picks him up. You help me here. He picks him up. He pours oil in his wounds. He doctors on him. Now, what was the next thing that he did? You remember what he did next? Put him on his own beast. And he took him to a place that could take care of him. Took him to an inn. And he paid for him to be taken care of. He gave us an illustration of what it means to put our money where our mouth is. He gave us an illustration of the real thing, what real love is, what the church ought to be about, what you and I as Christians ought to be about. Now, what we have a tendency to do is that we give in the offering plate, and we know that the church is involved in all these different. Did you know that every penny that you give goes to, not every penny you give, a part of every penny you give. Part of it buys hamburgers for me. But a part of every penny that you give goes to homes for unwed mothers. It goes to orphanages. It goes to spread the gospel all over the world. It goes to feed the hungry. And I could just go on and on and on of what Baptist entities that we are involved in, and we give that through the cooperative program. That's not enough. And that won't do it for us. For us to put money in the offering plate and say, well, I've done my due. But what was the illustration that Jesus gave when it came to helping people? He poured in the oil. The Samaritan poured in the oil. He poured the oil on his wounds. He put him on his own beast. He paid for his room when he got to that place. And then finally, he says that if we're going to do what is right, the real thing, the real religion here, real Christianity, where the rubber meets the road, what we should be about is to be unspotted from the world. Now, what does that mean? Now, you know that whenever I speak, I've got all these fingers pointed back to me. If I'm pointing one at you, I've got a lot more pointed back to me than I have pointed at you. What does it mean to be unspotted from the world? You see what? It's like, I never tried this. Maybe you have. I never boiled a frog, have you? I thought that'd be an awful way to kill something. But I never boiled a frog, but they tell me that you can put a frog in water and turn the fire on under it, and he will just stay there. And
the water will start boiling, it'll kill him, and he doesn't even realize that it's getting hotter or something. Well, I think that's what's happened to us many times as Christians. We're like a frog in boiling water. We don't realize what has happened to us. Let me ask you, you watch things on TV that you would not have watched 20 years ago? You sit through TV commercials with your children that if they had a magazine down on the floor and it had those same pictures in it, you would go through the ceiling. What does it mean to be unspotted? What has happened to us as a society? What's happened to us as a church that we're to be unspotted from the world? I'm not talking about legalism. There's a whole lot of difference between legalism and being like the world. The Amplified Bible puts it this way: external religious worship, religion as it is expressed in outward acts that is pure and unblemished in the sight of God the Father, is this: to visit and help and care for the orphans and widows in their affliction and need, and to keep oneself unspotted, uncontaminated. Now, that's what that word spotted means. It's contaminated with something else. It's got something else in it. We wouldn't eat something that had been contaminated with something, or it would make us sick if we did. The Eugene Peterson, I like the way that he puts things. When he talks about that verse, he says, anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world. One more passage and then we're going to come to a close. Look over in the New Testament at the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2, and look at verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Now listen closely. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and pat you on the back. Is that what he said? What'd he say? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Bob's going to come and lead us in an invitational hymn. Our musicians are going to come. Let's stand together. I realize that this message today was more pointed at the saved than it was the Lord.